Hi, everyone. My name is Nikki Lively, and I'm the Clinical Director of the Transitions to Parenthood program at the Family Institute. We're a team of psychotherapists specializing in reproductive mental health and provide therapy and support to women, men, infants, couples, and families in this important life transition. Today, I'll be talking to LaShonta Edwards. Ms. Edwards is the founder and executive director of A Mother's Sanctuary in Houston, Texas. She is an advocate for maternal mental health, as well as an educator, doula, author, and mother of five. So I thought I would start by asking you about A Mother's Sanctuary. You founded this organization, and I wondered if you could talk about what led you to do that and how you formed the mission and the services.
Absolutely. So I found A Mother's Sanctuary in 2014 after volunteering for a national organization. But what prompted me to do all of that is I am a survivor of postpartum depression. I had postpartum depression with my second child, who is 10 now. He just cried all the time. And so I felt like it was this never ending cycle, right? And unfortunately with myself, I kind of felt like I was alone, like there was nobody else out there going through this. So I kind of went through it by myself, and I had an incident. And so then you fast forward 7 years. So remember I said I founded A Mother's Sanctuary in 2014. Well, this came after I saw two posts very similar on Facebook that, you know, made some really interesting remarks. And I got on there and I explained everything I had gone through with my journey. And I was like, okay, so more people need to know about this. How am I going to get the word out? So that's when I started volunteering with a national organization. Unfortunately, when women would call in for resources, they would ask for a support group or a doctor. I could only send them to places that were about an hour or so away. Yeah, we had nothing in our area. Nothing. So from that, you know, from me scrounging and, you know, telling these parents, I'm sorry, but I don't have anything close to you, A Mother's Sanctuary was found.
Now I know a little bit more about the story to found the organization. I wonder about the mission, because you mentioned that your aunt helped you and kind of said something to you and noticed that you were struggling. I really love the mission that you've articulated, that everyone be able to recognize the signs and symptoms of maternal mental health. And I've often found that it is family, close friends, a partner, et cetera, that would be the best chance for her to be noticed as struggling, but often don't really know how to bring it up to her. And so I'm wondering if you could say more about how you articulated that vision and what some of the ways you found that your organization helps kind of support that vision.
My reason behind the mission was we cannot continue to put everything on moms. Like somebody else has, they have to step up and they have to recognize that some of these things are happening. And I knew that if it weren't for my aunt saying, hey, Shawnee, they call me Shawnee in my family, hey, Shawnee, we need to get you some help. So who do I need to go to get some help? If it weren't for her, I know for a fact that I wouldn't have gone on my own. And she recognized that. And so to make this easier for the family, we actually do community events. We do a lot of community outreach. We partner with local organizations and we offer maternal mental health prep classes. Before they deliver, we are going to different doctor's offices, pediatricians, OB-GYNs to offer training. And, you know, even with that training, there has to be some type of support, right? So we offer support groups, not just for mom, but we also support groups for partners and family members as well.
I wonder if you have any guidance or what you might say to friends and family about red flags to look for in new moms. I agree with you that often the women that I have worked with do have a hard time articulating what they're going through. So it really is not fair, I think, to put it all on moms, that this is a public health issue. How you might give guidance about what friends and family should look for and how best to take action on what they're seeing.
Generally, I like to reach out to families prior to their delivery, right? Let's come up with a plan before mom delivers. And how we do this, we all, you know, most people have this birthing plan. They know how they want their birth, where they want their birth. Some people know how long they want to birth. No one really talks about a postpartum care plan. So we're really adamant on creating this postpartum care plan. Who are going to be your biggest supporters? Who can you have come over? If you want them to hold the baby, they'll hold the baby. But if you don't want them to hold the baby and you want them to wash dishes, they'll wash dishes. You know, I have this biggest thing about visitation with a purpose. I mean, that may seem a little harsh, but if you're going to come over, like, I would like a pan of lasagna. Just doing those things beforehand to take away some of those stressors after delivery. So she doesn't have to worry about the clothes that may be piled up in a corner. And she doesn't have to worry about, okay, when am I actually going to get a shower? You know, who is going to help her doing that? And so when you generally see mom, you know, there's all types of emotions happening, you know, from happy to sad to sometimes just downright angry. When you notice mom's behavior is getting really sad, or she may be raging, or she may not be eating as much, or she's eating more than what she should be doing with, you know, after 2 weeks of delivery. You know, that first 1 to 2 weeks is the baby blues, right? So, but after that 2 weeks, if these things start to extend after 2 weeks, we like for the family members to reach out to their local organizations to see if there's any support for moms. I don't want people to get so confused that postpartum depression, you know, is all crying, right? Like there are just so many symptoms. And I think the disconnect is, well, it can't be postpartum depression because they haven't been weepy and they haven't been really sad. So it has to be something else. You know, rage is a symptom of postpartum depression.
I've noticed that anxiety or worry, excessively worrying, which can cause people to be quite irritable, is probably more common than I've seen with just like a pure sadness. So it's a little bit of like a misnomer to call it postpartum quote unquote depression, because the way we think of depression as sadness, I think it can throw people off.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, unfortunately, they're sitting there not getting the help that they deserve because they feel like they don't fall under that category. I'm an African-American woman, and if the only thing I see is a pamphlet of a Caucasian woman weepy and crying and eyes bloodshot, I'm going to automatically assume, oh, this isn't for me. Culturally appropriate materials, you know, have been a huge barrier. And that's something we're trying to work on now.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that the people need to see their communities represented. Otherwise, it's pretty stigmatizing. It's stigmatizing anyway, I think, for moms. And then not to be represented in the information and the educational material just adds another layer. Speaking of educational materials, the book A Dark Secret, I think it's subtitled Real Women Share Their Trials and Triumphs of Their Battles with Maternal Mental Health. How did you come up with the title for this book, and what led you to work on this project?
So I was working with so many moms during support groups, and that's what prompted me to start this book process. Like I put the feelers out there. Hey, I would like, you know, more moms to tell about their stories. But with this journey, I didn't just want it to end, you know, I had postpartum depression and that was it, right? It was like, I had postpartum depression and this is how I overcame it. So if you read the stories, they go into their stories very deeply, But they also talk about what treatment plans they did, what support groups they may have gone to, and where they are right now in their lives. So we brought it down, but we made sure we brought it up.
Now, I'm super, super duper excited because we are very lucky, I think, in Chicago that coming up in October 11th through the 13th, I believe, is a conference that you're a part of organizing called Imagine Me, Living Beyond My Barriers. As far as I know, it's the first conference specifically addressing the concerns and needs of perinatal mental health issues in women of color. And I wonder if you could talk about how this conference came to be and the significance of its name.
So we've gotten so many topics. We're actually going to have a panel on multicultural diversity and maternal mental health. And that spans so many ethnicities. And I'm really excited about that because every culture is different. So every culture's healing process is different. So we'll learn about that. We'll learn about microaggressions and intersectionality. And when I tell you there's just so much information that will be given out, I can't bring it to words because I'm really excited about this because I've yet to go to a conference where it was completely focused on not just maternal and mental health, but some of the social injustices that are happening within our communities.
So last but not least, any final thoughts you might like to share with women and families about the transition to parenthood, maternal mental health, any messages for Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month?
It's really about finding that community for the new parents, right? Making sure that you are really helping them in terms of, maybe they do need you to come prepare a meal or even have that fixed before they deliver, or just come over. As a doula, I worked with a mom and she said, you just being here, like having another adult here is really major for me. And I sat there and I sat there and talked to her. Sometimes that's really all they need. I'm also really big on if she says she needs help, get her help. Do not try to convince this mom that she can do it, okay? Because I've seen this way too many times where it's like, you could just do this by yourself. That's something from my culture. African-American culture is like, whatever happens in this house, it better stay in this house. Don't go outside and tell our business. But then they suffer because they're doing it alone. Then they don't have anyone. So if she is asking for help, help mom. Look for help.
Thank you so much for being with us today, LaShonta. I really appreciate all your wisdom and, sharing all the experiences that you've had.
Oh, thank you. This was great.
And I want to encourage people to go to your website for more on LaShonta Edwards and her work. It's LaShontaEdwards.com. Or if you're interested in her organization, A Mother Sanctuary, especially if you're listening in the Houston area, the website is amsmothers.com. And then last but not least, if you are going to be in the Chicago area in October,
yes,
to register for Imagine Me, you can go to their website at imagineme.conf, that's CONF.com. And we'll throw all the information up on our website too. This podcast is brought to you by the Family Institute at Northwestern University, a nationally recognized leader in the field of behavioral health. We bring together the right partners to support children, adults, couples, and families across the lifespan. As researchers, educators, and therapists, we work with our clients and partner to see change. If you'd like to request an appointment, please call us at 847-733-4300, extension 263. You may also visit our website at family-institute.org. And please follow us on Facebook and Twitter for relationship tips and tools and for updates on new podcast episodes. Thanks so much for listening.